Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Science Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is
March 5th, 2018.
15.
Oh, 15. Yeah, the 10. Okay.
The world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice now. Heed the warning, folks. Hear the sound of the shofar. Get right now before it's too late. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your prayer request. Name, number, message, but make sure you leave a message, especially on my cell phone. I have so many people that call and they just, you know, get the message and it's just dead space. So, folks, when you call my cell phone for an emergency, because I have been ignoring it to a certain extent, and I've said this before, because I get four calls in a row that are all telemarketers, and so that fifth call might be you. And so I might accidentally ignore it. So because I'm frustrated from the telemarketing calls. So if you text me on my phone and gave me your number and said you had a prayer request, it'd be a lot simpler. Anyway, phone number, of course, main phone is 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all the things that you need to know about our ministry, or I think you need to know anyway, is at prophecyhour.com, which is our ministry hub. Anyway, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's on YouTube. It's on some FM stations. So please pray about supporting airtime. Anyway, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like
Stockholm, Sweden, Benin, Malawi, Morocco, Munich, Germany, Moscow, Russia, Winnipeg, and Canada. And of course, the good old United States of America. Washington, D.C., Henderson, North Nevada, Colorado Springs, Colorado, Plano, Texas, okay, Greensboro, North Carolina, I bet they get a lot of static. Plano, Texas.
Plano, it's Plano, I think, is how it's pronounced. It's
Plano. Plano.
You trying to say them good folks that listen to us in Texas are plain?
No, not at all. Texas is a good state.
Oh, okay. Well,
Wichita, Kansas.
NB stands for Nevada, not North
Virginia. North Virginia. Okay, and Wichita, Kansas, which still remains the largest group of listeners to the radio program when they podcast later tonight.
Well, I didn't take a read that, but that's okay. Well, folks, please follow and share with us on Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77, and I guess you can all guess who my guest is tonight. Anyway, now a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, and Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I really pray radio goes tonight according to your will, not our will, Father. And please give everyone out there ears and wish to hear and understand the truth. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Well, tonight we're going to talk about Passover. And why is it 3 days and three nights? You know, in fact, I talk about Passover at the end of the program, technically at the end of every program, Mother, because I say, you know, as he was 3 days and three nights. We'll go into that. In the heart of the earth. So let's give the only sign given, and we'll first let's welcome my wonderful Why? Hello.
Hello, people. I'm glad to be back.
There's...
The movie star is attending. Oh, it's not movie. Radio. The radio star is attending tonight.
So you're saying you're a star now.
What you told me is going to make me a star.
Well, that's because Frank says it all the time.
Oh, so it's the producers. I always get blamed on the producers.
That's a fact. He's controlling everything behind the scenes. So.
Oh, behind the scenes, the producer's always in trouble.
Yeah, you'll probably hear from him at commercial time.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so... tonight we're going to talk about Passover again, and, you know, we'll lead it off, we'll come back to the 3 days and three nights in a minute. So, Mom, Passover, what's that mean to you?
That means that the Lord passed over and saved us from getting slaughtered, and we're here today and supposed to be trying to do our best to live sin free.
Okay.
But that means he died for us, and then he rose 3 days later and...
Three nights. That's
three,
very
three days
important.
And three nights, yeah.
Okay, well, that isn't really quite what I mean, but what does it mean to you? I mean, when I say... you're absolutely right, but what I want to get to the heart of, and we have a Passover meal at the mission church, and... So what does it mean to you as far as getting ready or any of those things? You know?
A lot of work.
A lot of work. We'll tell the people.
Yes, it's a lot of work. I have to plan the meal and, you know, of course, set up for the cedar, which is a lot of work. It's a lot of special settings and stuff that goes on the table. But it's not, I mean, it's like a five-hour job to get ready for Passover. So that means if it falls on a Friday, then that means we have to close for the people or trade for another day. So,
right. And this year it will, folks, for the record, Passover begins in October, not October, boy, I don't know where I got that. What month are we in again?
March 30th at dark.
Okay, March 30th.
It's the Sabbath.
Right, but the day isn't a Sabbath Friday, and so we prepare the meal before dark, and we serve it when?
You serve it at the end of the cedar, at Passover, at dark on Friday.
Right. Okay. When do we begin the cedar?
At dark on Friday.
At dark
I said
on
that.
Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
At dark
so
on Friday. So that makes it. Passover is not normally a Sabbath. The first day of unleavened bread is the Sabbath. But this year we have two Sabbaths in a row because Passover falls on Friday at dark. It starts, which is the regular weekly Sabbath. So this year we have Passover as a Sabbath and the first day of unleavened bread as a Sabbath, two Sabbaths in a row, Sabbath, Sabbath.
Right. So I'm going to go backwards here a minute, and I'm going to give the breakdown, and then I'll get some more comments from my lovely wife after I give this breakdown. I'm going to tell you how the original Passover was with Yeshua. The event that year with Yeshua, it started on Tuesday. Yeshua and the 12 disciples came to Jerusalem from Bethany, and they came there to take care to have the Passover meal. Now, a lot of people don't understand, you know, like I say, you know, if you look in the Word, if you look back to the original Passover where we were saved, the blood of the Lamb saved us from a physical death. Which was a shadow of Messiah to come and become our Passover lamb and save us from a spiritual death, then you'll see in the original writings that the Passover meal was eaten right at dark, you know, and it was eaten right at dark. And that's when Yeshua did it, had his Passover. Now, traditionally, it has been carried on to a lot of people eat their Passover meal. Actually, they end up not even eating it on Passover. They end up preparing it on Passover because here's a peculiar thing that a lot of people know. No, Passover is also called Preparation Day. It's preparation, and any preparation day is a preparation day for the Sabbath. So what comes the day after Passover? You said it a minute ago.
The first day of unleavened bread, which is the High Sabbath.
Right. And so that's why they... So, therefore, that's when a lot of people get mixed up in the Bible when they talk about Preparation Day and confusing it to be Friday or you know, because the Friday's normally, every week, Friday is considered, tomorrow is considered a preparation day for the weekly Sabbath. So when it mentions two preparation days in the breakdown of the what happened over Passover, because there were, but let's go on with this. So anyway, Yeshua ate an early evening Passover meal as it was in the Old Testament with his disciples. After the meal, he went out and, what did they do after the meal?
They went to sleep, didn't they? And then Yeshua went to the garden and prayed?
Well, that's where they went. They went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and they were there. And why did all these guys pass out?
I think they ate too much and drank too much wine.
Well, that's exactly right, because traditionally a Passover meal is a celebrated meal, and that's what they do. They drink, and we're talking about real wine at a Passover meal. They would drink real wine and they ate very festive because they were celebrating that they came out of Egypt. They were released from bondage. What?
And technically, the Lord said, anytime you do anything in representation of his blood, you do not use any leaven. So that means that by using grape juice or any of that stuff, you're using leaven. You have to wait till it's completely done fermented, which makes it what? Wine. So you're supposed to use real wine for the representation of his blood when you do the Passover Seder.
Right. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I choked for a minute, so you better tell him.
I didn't mean to choke you up. Sorry.
No, I was just washing down your words with my teeth. Anyway, So Yeshua ate the meal. It was dark. Let's set the stage. So it became Wednesday because the day changed. Wednesday's a day change.
As soon as it's dark.
As soon as it's dark. So right now it's Thursday where we're at. So at dark, it becomes Friday, right?
Right. Preparation day.
Preparation day. So here's the point. So Passover came at dark that Tuesday night, which would have been Wednesday. Okay, so Wednesday, so he ate the meal, they went to the garden, and Yeshua prayed, and the disciples kept falling asleep, you know, and, you know, it's kind of like some of you folks that's never ate a Passover meal know what we're talking about. You ever had a Thanksgiving meal? Of course you have. How many of you folks go to sleep after you eat your Thanksgiving meal, even with no wine? I bet a lot of you.
Amen. That food makes you tired.
That food makes you tired. You know, there's actually a thing in poultry that does that to you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's a fact. Anyway, but moving right along. So they went to sleep. Yeshua prayed. And then came Judas and some people to the came to the garden and arrested Yeshua. So Yeshua was arrested it was still dark. It was Wednesday. He was tried the same day. The trial was over by about a little after daybreak or so. He was put on the cross, and he gave up the ghost at the ninth hour. The ninth hour was 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Now, here's where a lot of people fall down. So if he gave up the ghost at 3 p.m., they wanted to make sure that Yeshua was off the cross, but not only Yeshua, but the other two Jewish people were off the cross before dark, because at dark, what happened at dark on Passover?
It turned into the first day of unleavened bread, high Sabbath, which is higher than the regular weekly Sabbath. It's a high Sabbath.
Right, it's a high Sabbath. And so, and Jews would not have touched a dead body on the Sabbath day and made them, or on that Sabbath day and made them unclean. So they got him down off of the cross before dark. He was put in the grave, in Joseph Arimathea's grave, before dark on Wednesday. So that marks a timeline. Yeshua said, let's go back to what Yeshua said. Yeshua said, he answered, I'm going to read you the scripture, Matthew 12:39-40, and this is King James Version. And he answered and said unto them, an evil one, adulterous generation, seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And so we have to trust that Yeshua wouldn't lie to us, would he?
Never.
Would he accidentally be inaccurate?
Never. He's perfect. Perfect.
Okay, so if he said 3 days and three nights, he said that for as an exactness for a reason. And people want to argue over what 3 days and three nights is. You can go and look it up. There's supposed to be 12, they consider 12 hours of darkness, 12 hours of light. When he said 3 days and three nights, he meant 3 days and three nights. And he said in 3 days, if you put together everything, we go for that 3 days and three nights. That's his sign. And it's the only sign given. There's nothing else there to prove. So when you got, you folks out there got a Yeshua that you're, you need to really consider is the Yeshua or Jesus that you are, worshiping. You need to have a clear picture of who he is. 3 days and three nights. Okay, moving right along from that. So we start the clock at, for being in the grave before Thursday, before dark on Wednesday. So you have before dark on Wednesday to before dark on Thursday. That's 1 day and one night. That's 1 day. So then Thursday dark, right before dark, to Friday dark, it's 2 days and nights. Friday dark, just before Friday dark. You have to remember, just before Friday dark, you come up with the Sabbath. The next day is the Sabbath. So that's Saturday. Before dark, 3 days and three nights. Now, so Yeshua rose, you know, they rose. He rose before the Sabbath was over. He didn't rise Sunday morning as it was daylight. That's just a bad interpretation any way you look at it. And you can find all this stuff by looking at the King James Bible. But anyway, so Mark 16 tells us, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Yeshua and Salome and brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And Luke's account also describes how the women prepared the spices and ointments. And then they rested on the Sabbath day, according to the two accounts. They bought the spices, prepared them after the Sabbath, and yet before the Sabbath. So that tells us, see, they after they got the spices, they couldn't do it on the day of unleavened bread, but they did it in between the Sabbaths on the weekly preparation day on Friday. And then it says they rested over the Sabbath day. And then as the Sabbath was drawing on, now, if I say I'm drawing towards the door, am I through the door yet?
No, you're drawing on to the door. You haven't reached it yet.
Right, and that's what the scripture says, is they were drawing, as it was drawing on towards the first day of the week, that's when they came to the grave. And they got quite a surprise when they got there anyway. What did they find out when they got there?
Empty.
Empty. Oh, that who you seek is already risen. He's already gone. And that's because he was arose. Now, he did run into, right after that, they saw him and they thought he was a gardener or something, but that's because he was out, I'm sure he was out there looking at the harvest. But the point is he was outside, they ran into him, they went to touch him, and he said, no, don't touch me, for I haven't risen yet, or I haven't ascended. That was the word. He hadn't ascended yet. We hadn't ascended to the Father yet. People go, well, why would he be waiting around and not just when he rose from the grave, immediately ascended to the Father as the wave offering? Well, the day after the Sabbath is the one of the feasts of first fruit, but it's the first fruit of the barley of Eve. It's the barley harvest. Well, the priest on the first day of the week, that week, for the barley harvest, they do a wave offering. And so as they were waving the early morning, and that did happen after sunrise, and as they were waving the barley harvest as an offering, he became the first of first fruits, and he ascended to the Father and appeared before the Father as the first fruit offering for that feast, to fulfill that feast. Had he not did it at the right time of, wait a minute, is our Bible accurate?
Yes, it's accurate.
Okay, so would you say that the things that they, to fulfill something, if they say, well, this fulfills Passover, doesn't it have to fulfill it in the same mannerism, you know, as the word says? The same way, I mean, in exactness, you know, as far as timing goes.
Well, it would be, if it didn't, it would be making Yeshua a liar, or God a liar, and that's not going to happen.
Very good. That's a good answer. And so, therefore, folks, that's why he waited around and didn't ascend. I mean, after he rose from the grave, he hadn't ascended yet because he was waiting for the time of the morning oblation, the morning offering for the first day of the week, which was the first fruits offering because it was first fruits. So he fulfilled that by rising to the Father, and then he came right back down. And after that, you remember, you know, people touched him. In fact, you know, you have Mr. Doubting Thomas wanting to put his hand inside of his
right.
wound. But prior to that, they couldn't touch him.
So I'm wondering, and this is just a thought, I'm wondering if that might be maybe where the Catholics got their early morning mass. Where'd that come from?
Well, I can tell you where that came from. It came from the, what did you say, Easter?
Yeah, early morning mass. That's what they try to, that's what Satan took from Passover. He made Easter. So instead of people celebrating what they're supposed to be celebrating, which is Passover, they celebrate Easter with Easter eggs and hopping bunnies, which is all a bunch of lies, just like I'm going to the other ones, but yeah, you can tell I'm upset over it. Yes, that's where... talk.
No, I'm not going to talk.
No, I'm so upset. I don't like the pagan days. You know what makes me upset? Very upset. And it really shouldn't. I shouldn't have that anxiety over them, but it's because I used to do them myself, but I was convicted and I know the truth, and it just makes you want to pound it in people's head, but they don't want to listen. They don't want...
to know the truth.
Yeah. They don't want to do the Ten Commandments of the Bible. They want to say, oh, they were nailed on the cross. They were nailed on the cross.
Okay.
I don't have to do that anymore. The Lord took my sins away. All I got to do is tell him I'm sorry and I'm okay.
Well, I have an absolute answer for that, which you ask, and it's a good question, and it's something good that we can come into. But you know what? You've been talking so much, it's time for break already. So
hey there, Frank. You need to
tell them we'll be back in a minute.
We'll be back in a minute.
No, 3 minutes. Right
okay,
back.
Okay, 3 minutes.
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back.
I'm sorry, folks. I had my microphone turned down so my wife and I could talk during break. I forgot to turn it up. But listen, folks, we are back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Now, normally we would talk right now about about the mission church and the things that we need there, but we'll talk about that a little bit later because I want to answer a question my wife had just before break time. That we were talking about Passover, and when I explained to her about the wave offering, she said, well, I wonder if it was where the Catholics picked up and ended up with Easter. No, here's the story on the Catholics. Here's why they do Easter instead.
No, the question was where they got, how they got the morning mass.
That's what I'm going to explain to you.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to explain. Okay. Catholics and some of the denominations that are spun off of Catholics and some other people have Easter sunrise services. Now, you know, the first thing you can do is you can just look and see, well, sunrise services, that's S-U-N-R-I-S-E, sunrise, not S-O-N rise services.
Right.
So here's the picture. When Constantine the Great, that was the man that made Christianity legal and the first council of Nicaea that they had afterwards, which decided what would go in the Bible. But the point is, Constantine the Great was a sun god worshiper. In fact, you know, he didn't even get baptized until on his deathbed, and he got worried about it. But he
Constantine the Great was a sun god worshiper. In fact, he even printed coins with Yeshua's face on one side and the sun god Mithra on the other side. Okay, so he was an avid sun god worshiper. When he decided to become a Christian, it was because of a vision that he saw of something in the air that had to do with crosses, and it didn't have anything to do with Yeshua. And he chose to fight a battle the next day, putting that symbol he saw in the sky. A lot of people say he was just blinded at looking at the sun, because if you look at the sun and you look at it too long, you can see like a cross-like thing. But point is he had a vision of a cross. He put it was just like an S. And he put it on their shields the next day before this great battle that he was entering into to conquer the other half of Rome, because he only ruled one half of Rome, and he was getting ready to go into battle to fight the other half of Rome to become the ruler of all of Rome, like a civil war, if you will. Okay, well, the sun god priest would not bless the battle. They didn't believe he could win it. They weren't going to bless the battle. And so the next... He said he had a vision that night, roughly, and he saw this vision of a cross. It's under this symbol, shall, you know, fight the battle, whatever. And so they painted crosses on all their shields, and he went on to win that battle, and he became the ruler of Rome. Okay. Well, between Constantine and his mommy, they went around and designated all kinds of things that were to become Christian. Well, this is where the Catholic Church emerged from. These people, they did not want to change their holidays. Like the first, you know, folks, if you look up the feast or the appointed times, feast means moed, which means appointed times, rehearsal. The first feast of them, the first feast listed in the Bible is, when at least all the feasts together, is the weekly Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the seventh day. All right, well, why did the Catholic Church and them decide to do it? In fact, if you look up this in the Catholic Church, you know, in their footnotes, they'll tell you that straight up. You say, what day is the Sabbath day? They'll say, Saturday's the Sabbath day, but they changed it. Okay, let's go back to the change. Every morning, they worship the sun. So, doesn't it seem to be natural to worship the sun as it rises up?
Right.
Where did they get sunrise service from?
From the sun rising.
Okay, see, there's the point. They traditionally had a sunrise service that honored Mithra, the sun god, and so they went in, and instead of, they held that over. They did. They still, you know, it tells us not to learn the way, the Bible tells us not to learn the way of the heathen, or the pagans, but they just incorporated the sunrise service and saying, okay, Yeshua was born then, so now we can justify changing it to the first day of the week. In fact, Constantine even made it a law that you couldn't worship on the Sabbath day unless you was a farmer out in the field someplace. But other than that, you had to worship on the venerable day of the sun, S-U-N. That would be their day of worship, to honor the sun god. Well, it also goes, that's where Easter sunrise service is. They worship the sun as it rose up, and so they adopted that and changed that to mean that Yeshua rose as it became sunlight, and he didn't do that.
Right.
And so, you know, there's no way dying on a Friday night, you do the addition. If you died on Friday and you rose Sunday morning, is that 3 days and three nights?
And it's a day and a half.
Yeah,
and
maybe it is. Yeah, that's what I say, a day and a half and a little while.
That's where I got that.
Yeah, it's a day and a half and a little while. And so the only sign given is 3 days and three nights. And so that distinctly shows us what traditions we should be following. It. So Easter, even the name Easter, is after Esther, which is Myth.
Yeah.
Is what?
Mithra's mom.
Mithra's mom. It's the sun god's mommy. And so Easter is actually a day when they... to honor.
So doesn't that make her a sun goddess?
Sure it does.
Yeah.
Sure it does. They worship many gods. They worship what you call a pantheon of gods. You know, a lot of people say, well, I honor a lot of gods. Well, you're just doing an old pagan thing. There's nothing new under the sun, the Bible says. And when you say you worship one god all the gods lead to one god, and that's just not the truth. There's only one way to worship our Father, And Yeshua said, we pray to him in Yeshua's name. We don't even pray to Yeshua. Yeshua says, ask me nothing. On that day that you ask me nothing, but you pray to the Father in my name, is the day he'll answer your prayer.
Right.
And so we're not to even pray to Yeshua. He is just our doorway to the Father. And he is the only doorway to the Father, not some Indian God or Allah. In fact, Allah, so they say, well, you know, Allah has no son. So that dismisses Yeshua, and he who dismisses the Son also dismisses the Father.
Right.
And so, and what does Paul go further to say about that? He says, this is the spirit of Antichrist.
Isn't that the only unforgivable sin?
Well, we won't get into the blasphemy. We don't have, that's a whole program in itself. So, folks, I'm just going to step off of that.
Okay, but I got one more question.
Okay, this is
a good one. Tell us what the difference between Mithra and Nimrod. What's the difference?
Nimrod's his daddy.
That's his dad? Oh, okay. I probably knew that, but you brought it to my remembrance. He was born on his dad's birthday because they both have December 25th birthday.
And actually, if you boil it all down, it's just one thing. It's Satan worship.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
But you don't have to learn the ways of the heathen, but you have to learn their ways so you know not to do the way of the heathen.
Well, it's easier. You don't necessarily have to learn their ways at all. All you have to do is go by what the Bible tells you to do, and anything that doesn't line up or is contrary to what the Word says, you know, it's like this. If you have a tradition that says, well, my tradition tells me that I want to add ice cream to the Passover meal. I can add ice cream to the Passover meal. Unless what?
It's in the Bible that you cannot eat ice cream on the Passover meal.
Right, technically right. Or if I said the ice cream took the place of the wine or something, you know.
Right.
And that's just like saying, you know, it goes back to using grape juice instead of wine. But
right.
We won't go deep into that because each man has his own conviction. And so we're not going to get into some deep technical things. We're trying to give you an overview
right. So
you can go test it out for yourself. And then I suggest to get into stronger study. So we're just kind of like skimming across the top tonight, you know.
Okay.
So we even had a debate on it says to get rid of everything in the Passover. This is how much study that goes into it. The Passover, it says, well, you need to get rid of everything before daylight. You know, what was it talking about?
It said, well, it's it says you can't eat anything of the leftover lamb. It says burn in the fire. And we went back and forth over whether it was just the lamb or the whole Passover meal. And at one point, we had quite a bit of feast food left over, and we just threw it away because we thought it meant the whole Passover meal. Then further study, we discovered that it was just the Passover lamb. And so then we saved it and fed it out to the people instead of throwing it away.
Okay, let me address that. What it said was, to burn the Passover. And so it came into the discussion, what did the Passover mean? Did it mean, well, we can't burn today, clearly. And so what did it mean by the Passover? And now this is back early on, but we wanted to be accurate. So you stated out, and the Passover is the lamb, period. The Passover is the lamb, but you do a meal with it. But when it talks about Passover, it's talking about the lamb. You don't keep the lamb over until the next day. And so... So there's a lot of things in Passover that you look up for themselves, and we discovered the truth simply not by – actually, you'll get confused nowadays. You know, it used to be back when we started, there was only a few things about, you know, Messianic and Passover, and there were some pretty clear things. But now, But now 19 years later, since when we first started looking it up or so, there's so much misinformation out there. There's people that do new moon Sabbaths and all this stuff, and there's so much, it's really hard to find the truthful sites. I did, however, I sent one over about the Passover to my pastor's page. If you go to prophecyhour.com and you go to the pastor's page, you folks know how to get to it. When you get the pastor's page, click it up, and I got a link over there that's pretty good about Passover, and so you go over there and look it up. So let's get into some fun things. So what all we get to eat? I mean, besides, you know, what's in the Passover meal?
Well, on the Passover plate is the leg bone from the leg of lamb, some bitter herbs, which we usually use parsley, some carissa, which is made with apples and nuts and a little bit of sweet wine and honey. Let me think. Oh, gosh. I usually do it by watching, you know, I set it up by my... I have a visual in my head, and so I'm trying to think what else is on there. The bitter herbs. Oh, what I love to get is the extra hot horseradish.
That's actually the bitter herb is the horseradish. But we won't spoil all that fun for the people and tell them. But besides the things that the Bible, and you can go right to the Bible itself, and it'll tell you what you're supposed to eat.
And matzah.
And matzah.
No leaven.
Yeah, that's the bread of poverty.
Right.
It's unleavened
bread.
And
no leaven in anything that you cook and put on the Passover table. No leaven touch that table.
Right, because Yeshua, and there's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. I want to go in and talk about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Because, you know, now a lot of people say Passover, and when they say Passover, they're talking about the Passover meal. And they are, beyond the Passover meal, they're also talking about the whole week of unleavened bread. But actually, they're two totally separate different things. It's the Passover meal, and then the next day after is the week of unleavened bread. Now, Yeshua is our unleavened bread. Yeshua is without spot or wrinkle. And so we spend the next week trying to keep sin out of our life, or leaven out of our life, which represents sin.
Right.
How hard is that?
Well, and the way it is pretty hard. You got to read labels, and believe me, you got to read labels, and you got to read more labels, and you got to read more labels. Or try and remember what you ate last year. Which we usually wind up always eating tacos for 7 days.
Tacos as a mainstay, but you know, here's...
And you have to really look for shells that doesn't have any leaven. Usually get the corn mission ones.
But let's go with this. It's a lot of fun, but it's a fun test like this. You know, at the end of the week, we gather back at church or whatever, you know, and we talk about, well, did anybody mess up this week? Well, usually everybody has. Rare occurrences, people haven't. And you can do it without, but it's easy to make an accident, especially if you happen to not be at home and have to go out and eat or something, you know what I mean? And so the whole exercise of an unleavened bread week teaches us just how hard it is to get sin out of our lives. And it tells us, it explains us through this exercise that by getting sin out of our lives, you know, and we fall down just and not even meaning to, you know, like, I don't remember what it was. I had a special TV dinner that I ate every year, and I guess I didn't read the small enough print, and she discovered, well, it had leaven in it. Well, so much for that. But it shows you that you need, how bad you need Yeshua. Yeshua had to die for us because it's impossible for us to keep sin out of our lives. So he became our offering so that we could have a path to the Father. But does that mean we're just not supposed to try?
We are supposed to try. And I know what a big one we had for years, because we started doing the tacos because it was so hard and I got tired of reading labels. Well, then a year before last, I read the bag of shredded cheese. Remember? And
yeah.
The shredded cheese had leaven in it. So you have to buy block cheese and grated your own cheese. All cans, usually everything that's in a can has leaven, everything. And you find something with no leaven in it, I want to know what it is.
What's usually leaven, though? Tell them what leaven is.
Anything that makes something rise, like baking soda, baking powder, sodium bicarbonate, yeast. Those are my main ones.
Let's talk about what I call a hidden ingredient. You know, we make sure, you know, we believe in eating as clean as possible, you know. There's hidden. So clearly we're not supposed to eat pork. Okay. But don't so many different things use pork fat in?
Yeah, they use, what do they call it? Bastings. Pork bastings for flavoring.
Yeah, but don't they call it if you
like
look on it.
Turkey bacon, yeah, turkey bacon, but you flip it over, read the ingredients, they use pork tastings for the flavors.
Okay, there's a name or something that it's some kind of a thing that is, that is
animal
pork. Animal, no, it's other, it's like animal, it's not, what ends up being animal shortening, but that isn't what it says on the label. It says.
You mean lard?
No, it isn't that clear. I'll have to find it. We'll scratch that, folks. We're getting a brain problem here. It's going to take me a while to think about what this is. But anyway, let's move on. So anyway, we go the week without, and you know, I usually lose, it's amazing. I lose a couple of pounds during that week. That I gained back real quick simply from getting bread out of my life. But,
no bread, and that's a hard one. I know my doctor told me to do a no bread, no pasta diet. Might as well not eat. Everything has bread in it. Oh, and pasta is like, I can't eat that, I can't eat that, I can't eat that, I can't eat that, I can't eat that. Okay.
Well, so really, though, with all the talking about Passover and having to get things out of our life or not eating it during that week, doesn't it help us to really see what happened on his crucifixion and everything?
Yes, it's a shadow picture.
Yeah, in fact, folks, we have to remember this. You know, people want to talk about, you know, people want to talk about the new covenant. Yeshua brought us and introduced us to the new covenant. It'll be full in at a different time, but we won't go into that part of it. But this meal that he had, he said, this do in remembrance of me. Now, I'll give you the exact scripture. He said in 1 Corinthians 11:24-25, it's recorded in the King James Version. It says, and when he had given thanks, he broke and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup in which he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it and remember it. In remembrance of me. Well, that's what we're ordered to do. We're not ordered to go hunt Easter eggs and all that other things. We're ordered to do the Passover meal in remembrance of him. But it's more than a Passover meal. It's the new covenant meal. Because every time that there is, whenever there's a covenant in the Bible, they have a celebrating covenant meal. And afterwards, and so I'll have to do, in fact, I did a program on covenants once, folks. I'll put it up on the pastor's page later. But anyway, so the point is he ordered us to do this in remembrance of him, and this was done at that Passover meal. Now, just real quick, I'm going to move to a different subject. We need to talk about the mission church, but real quick, I had an article, and it's been going around the internet this week about a state that has drop-off boxes for babies. What do you think about that?
Oh, my goodness. The Lord's got to come back soon.
What bothers you about that?
That's just, it's mentally, something's wrong with people.
Are you mad at the women for dropping them off or the place that has the drop-off box?
I'm really disgusted with both, but the women, if they don't want the baby, should know where how to take care of that. If they don't want babies, they should do something better than have them and drop them off in a drop box.
Okay. And you don't mean by abortion?
No, not by abortion.
Okay,
it's
I'm just
by
doing that.
Another sure. way that...
Well,
yeah.
I know you where your heart's at,
no.
But they can't, they don't. So,
as far as that goes, the drop off is a little better than the abortion, but they're both ridiculous.
Okay, but here, folks. Yeah, at first I was going mad, and I wanted to put the blame on the state for having the drop box, but you know they immediately know when the baby is put in there and everything, and they were looking for a solution. Because women have babies and they just throw them in the trash.
In trash bags and dumpsters, I know.
So, and they don't want to get in trouble for giving away their babies and all the rest of stuff. So they do this so they can do it in an anonymous manner, and it's actually saving children's lives. Now, so I'm not in condemnation over the state. Maybe there should be a better way, but it's
better than them being in a dumpster.
Right, and so I'm not condemnation of whatever state that is, but it's just sad that we have to be at that point. Okay, We've got about 2 or 3 minutes left, so let's talk about the Mission Church a little bit. So how are things going at the Mission Church?
Well, it's lots of new faces. I mean, you think that people are getting better, and then a lot more other different people come. So we've been feeding a lot. We've been going through 13 to 15 dozen eggs every Thursday, every Tuesday. I said Thursday, I'm on radio on Thursday.
Every day we're
every
open.
Every Tuesdays and Fridays we're open, and I get all my days mixed up. So the 2 days that we're there, yes, we've been doing 13 to 15 dozen eggs both days, and then on top of that, 12 dozen donuts on top of that. All the other foods that we have to do the meal with all the spices and all the stuff that goes in to cooking the meat, the vegetables, and all that. We have to prepare all that. So we've been feeding anywhere from 48 to 63, I think, was what we did Tuesday. But it is very hard to stock anything there. I'll think I'm almost stocked, and then they'll say, hey, Linda, or hey, Mom, we're out of this. I said, I just bought that, but we've had a lot of people this week. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah.
And 2 days a week seems like we're there every day.
Okay. Just real quick, let me sum it up, because we don't have very much time left at all. Folks, really, we aren't, you know, while things are getting better economy-wise, well, we are not at that point yet to where it's filtered down to the Mission Church. Yes, some donations and have started going up, but not near enough. We do need your support. This radio program is our main means of getting to you folks and you folks out there really support us, but we do need your help. So pray about it. Like tomorrow, we need to, we're out of some things. We don't, we need to, well, you've got some eggs left for,
no.
From your chicken.
Yeah, from my chickens.
Okay. From the chickens that we have here at home, but we need even more than that. We're out of a lot of things, and so, you know, if you could make a donation when you hear this tonight, that would be great, or anytime. So just pray about it. We really do need your help. There's some people that answered my call for some King James Version Bibles, and then I got a box. So please, King James, not New King James Versions, but King James Version Bibles. We really do need them. You folks that live in Wichita, drop off your extra clothing and things. And if you run across and you don't have to give money if you don't want to, but if you run across a sale on eggs, you can just bring a bunch of eggs by. That would be a blessing. We have a walk-in cooler where we can keep those things. Or some of you people prepare huge meals or whatever. If you do it cleanly, we will even take leftovers from some of the catered meals, you know, and things. And if you want to...
We are always out of vegetables.
And if you want to distribute something to the people, we'll allow you to come down there and do it also. Anyway, you can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And if you don't want to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime, because, you know, you are listening to radio. You've been a lot. I found out the other day, I had a guy tell one of our guests that they've been listening to us for 15 years. Well, people, you have been listening for a long time. Radio costs, and, you know, I have to pay for airtime. So, you know, radio airtime cost, and don't we have to pay the electric bill for to do it?
Which
you know?
I need help on those because of the cold. Yes, they're all really high this month.
Right.
And last month. So I'm getting behind again.
Right. So, you know, and I know some of you have the capabilities to do it. Well, any size donation matters and counts. The father notices all donations that come from where?
Him.
From him.
His heart.
From
your heart, from him.
From yeah, there you go. It comes from him to your heart. So all donations that you really want to give come from the heart. So pray about it, folks. We really do need your help. You live in Wichita, drop by and see us. And remember, there is only one God. He is your father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always be a what, Mother?
Blessing to others.
Always be a blessing to others. Yes, absolutely. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Tell him goodbye, and I'll get us out of here.
Okay, happy Passover. Have a blessed week and weekend, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
You'll probably see him before we do Passover again, I think. Anyway, I don't know. I have to look at the day.
No,
anyway,
it's that week.
Yeah, that week. She'll talk to you again Passover week. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
Shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.